You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Happy anniversary.
This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Kia ora, Sam.
Kia ora, Geneva. How's it going?
Good.
Good. All right. Well, today we're going to glam things up a bit.
Ooh.
And we're going to look at British glam rock band T-Rex and their sixth studio album, Electric Warrior.
Oh my gosh.
Is turning 45 this year. It was released in 1971.
Oh my gosh.
So just a bit of background. T-Rex was formed in 1967 by singer-songwriter Mark Bolan, but they were originally called Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Bit of a mouthful.
A bit of a mouthful for a band. Hey, Tyrannosaurus Rex, woo!
Do you think Tyrannosaurus is a glamorous word? Name.
Not really.
Nah, but
T is, yeah. It's got more energy to it.
Part
T.
of the alphabet.
Yeah.
You know.
They were actually originally a folk band, releasing primarily acoustic folk music.
Not surprised.
Because, you know, that's the late 60s after all.
Yeah.
And during this time, it was just Bolan on guitar and vocals, and this guy called Steve Peregrine Took on bongos after the Lord of the Rings character. Peregrine Took.
Cool.
Very interesting name. Clearly that wasn't his birth name, but there you go. And they released three albums together between 1968 and 1970, but really had no commercial success, and it really only appealed to the sort of hippie folk crowd in the UK at the time. I think they played at the first ever Glastonbury Festival, and it was just them on stage, Peregrine Took on the bongos, and sort of Mark Bolan sitting sort of cross-legged with his guitar on the floor.
I could just see his, like, little fingers. I don't know what I'm saying. All right, anyway, I can visualize it. That's what I meant. I don't know what that was.
I kind of get where you're coming from. Yeah.
Plucking at the strings,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and playing the bongos. And,
yeah, yeah.
So at the end of 1970, Took was actually sacked after pulling out with Bolan, and he was replaced with this guy called Mickey Finn on drums, and with the help of David Bowie's producer Tony Visconti, they recorded their first album under the name T-Rex. And with this change of name, they also brought in a more heavier electric sound. They ditched the title Tyrannosaurus Rex, obviously, and they ditched the folk, acoustic folk that went with it.
Mm.
Which was probably a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And after the relative success of this first electric album, Bolan then decided to expand the lineup, bringing in Steve Curry on bass guitar, Bill Legend on drums, and Finn moved to percussion, and they set out to record what became known as Electric Warrior in 1971. So on Electric Warrior, they went full on glam rock, with more poppy lyrics, sort of heavier electric riffs, but also influenced by kind of 50s rock and roll as well.
Mm.
The album is also quite groove heavy in the rhythms, possibly due to the fact that there's both a percussionist and a drummer, so there's more kind of emphasis on that in that regard. And also song-wise, although it is considered a classic glam rock album, it flowed quite nicely between the more heavier pop tracks and then the acoustic ballads. So they didn't entirely neglect the folk of Tyrannosaurus Rex, but they kind of interwove between the two styles, just so it wasn't just heavy track after heavy track. They had a nice flow between the kind of glam rock guitar-based stuff and the kind of more laid-back ballady type things. And, of course, years later now, with the likes of the glam metal and hair metal scene, every band in that scene had a ballad, power ballad or a big kind of pop ballad, which ultimately usually became a hit.
Mm.
I mean, the classic example for me is like Poison, every rose has its thorn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever, you know. And probably T-Rex is probably to blame for that.
I don't know. I think maybe blame seems negative, but
yeah,
accredited.
I'm being sarcastic.
I know. Yeah.
But yeah, T-Rex probably had an influence on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with this change of direction musically, they also changed their style. Bolan embraced the idea of being a glam pop star to the max. He used to wear glitter and makeup on stage.
Beautiful.
He used to wear top hats and feather boas.
Gorgeous.
And prance around, you know, and like live it up for the cameras and stuff. And he is basically now credited with starting the glam rock scene in the UK.
Mm.
And in the wake of this album and what they did, came the likes of David Bowie, obviously, Roxy Music, Slade, Mott the Hoople, and they all embraced the sound and visual aesthetic of glam, which T-Rex started to embrace around the time of this record.
My mum was into glam rock. She had glam rock boyfriends.
Ooh.
Yeah. She would paint, like, psychedelia on their face and stuff, and... Yeah, she actually wrote a book about them.
Really? Oh, that's...
called Glam Rock Boyfriends, yeah.
Holy shit.
Hilarious.
Wow.
But of course, it's all fiction and it's not real. It's not fact. It's just about her times, based on her times. This... Although people keep on asking her, is it about real people?
That's awesome. So it was quite a big transformation musically and kind of culturally, because hippie flower power and psychedelics was out. No one wanted a piece of that anymore. outrageous clothes, makeup, and sexual and gender ambiguity was definitely in. And that music was just turned on its head in the UK within the space of a year between 1970 and 1971.
Yeah, because I guess you need to go from one era to another. Mm. And it's almost like the 70s were all about erasing the 60s.
It was.
Like Iggy Pop as well, he was instrumental in erasing
the 60s. Well, he said in an interview, I helped wipe out the 60s.
Yeah, yeah, he didn't want... And I mean, that's kind of a play on that song, Wipeout, as well, which I thought was cute. But yeah, like, they just wanted to get rid of it. Candy life.
We were, like, over the hippie kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The failed 60s dream and all that, and we wanted to just live it up and have fun. And
yeah, the dream was over and it was ready.
It was.
For something else.
It was. Interestingly enough, kind of the glam rock scene was kind of UK-based primarily. There wasn't really one in the US, but it was all those early punk rockers, or so-called punk rockers, like Iggy Pop and the New York Dolls, that were kind of embracing the glam kind of thing, and Lou Reed. Even though it wasn't directly called glam rock, they were kind of pushing boundaries around gender and sexuality and men wearing makeup and dresses and whatever.
Yeah, and being completely comfortable with it.
Exactly, and obviously Iggy Pop was massively influenced by and friends with David Bowie, and so was Lou Reed. And
I don't know if he wore a shirt for like 10 years.
I don't think he's ever worn a shirt.
No.
And even where he wears a jacket, he's not wearing a shirt.
It's not really, it's not a shirt.
It's got an open-chested jacket.
Or like a vest. Anyway, what's coming up first?
Let's kind of play a song.
Yeah.
So this is the opening track of the record. It's called Mambo Sun. Mm. And this is a good example of the glam rock sound that goes right across the
I don't know what that was.
There's a bass and percussion heavy groove, as I was talking about, and obviously you'll hear high-pitched backing vocals. And Bolan also has quite a sexualized vocal performance on this track, both in delivery and content.
All right.
Yeah. Here's the grooves.
Beneath the bebop moon, I wanna croon with you. Beneath the mambo sun, I got to be the one with you, ooh, with you.
For you, ooh, for you, ooh.
That was just fun.
That was fun, yeah. Lots of kind of percussion and groove going on. You got the falsetto backing vocals, which sound a bit like Yoko Ono.
Hey, I hope you listeners are enjoying this show. If you'd like to drop us a line.
What were you doing in the glam scene?
Yeah, text in 5395.
Was there a glam scene in New Zealand?
Yeah, there was. Yeah.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty much all musicians were weirdos back then.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And ultimately, a lot of those scenes which started off in the UK or US found their way down here.
That's usually
what happens.
Yeah.
All right. So the next track we're going to play is called Cosmic Dancer. And this is the kind of other side of T-Rex, the more folk side. So if you can imagine, this is kind of what was happening when they were Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Mm.
There's lots of sort of acoustic sort of guitar. There's a bit of strings in here. It's kind of a ballad. Yeah, they're harking back to the old days. Yeah.
Also, I'm not going to be able to listen to the song without thinking of the movie Billy Elliot.
True.
Because it's that opening scene where
he's
jumping on the bed. I just love that. I love that film.
It's a great film, yeah.
I'm really like an old lady at heart, you know, who just wants a nice boy to learn a good ballet.
You
want to learn the ballet.
Learn the ballet.
Angry with him. Anyway.
Remember that episode of The Simpsons when Bart learns ballet?
He's amazing at it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, go out there and learn ballet, everyone. Here you go.
I danced myself right out the womb. Is it strange to dance so soon? I dance myself right out the womb. I was dancing when I was 8. I was dancing when I was 8. Stretched to dance so late. Is it strange to dance so late?
Out the womb.
Cool. We just got a caller from Mark. We got a caller called Mark.
Talking about glam rock in New Zealand, I believe.
Yeah, and he mentioned two New Zealand glam rock bands. Thanks for calling up, by the way. Ragnarok and also Alistair Rodell Space Waltz. That's an entire name.
That's a typical glam rock name by the sounds of it.
So we've definitely got some Googling to do.
Yeah.
And I'm very looking forward to it.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. That's great. Great information to have.
We love the info.
Yeah, keep it coming in.
Yeah.
We're going to keep the songs rolling, though.
Yes.
The next track we're going to play is called A Planet Queen.
Uh-huh.
And this is back to kind of the more traditional glam rock sound and the more kind of rock pop influences. Again, like Mambo Sun, there's falsetto backing vocals, along with kind of cosmic fantasy type lyrics about flying saucers taking you away.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with glam rock. There's a lot of kind of mysticism and kind of fantasy kind of lyrics and stuff.
It's a magic place in glam rock.
It is. It is magical. Yeah.
All right. Well, here's some magic for you, listeners.
Lovely.
Help but sing along.
That's
with
lovely.
That.
No,
I'm sorry. Sorry to the listeners if you were like, hey, why are those twats singing? But then you're probably singing too.
I mean, who can't help but smile and sing along to that?
Give me your daughter. I just thought I'd switch the mics on because we were just doing it anyway.
It was fun.
Yeah.
The next track we're going to play, we're just going to keep rolling through the tracks because why not?
Yeah, why not?
It's glam rock. Yeah. Everyone's living it up.
Chaka bro.
This is Life's a Gas. And it's another ballad, although this one's kind of less folky and more sort of classic rock kind of ballad. And to me, to my ears, it sounds like a lot of the Britpop ballads of the 90s, because T-Rex was a big influence on Britpop as well. Mm. There's actually a really catchy hook in this, which is kind of the center point of the track. So, yeah, Life's a Gas.
Life's a Gas.
I could have loved you, girl, like a planet. I could have changed your heart to a star. But it really doesn't matter at all. No, it really doesn't matter at all. Life's a gas. I could have built a house on the ocean. I could have placed our love in the sky. But it all really doesn't matter at all. No, it all really doesn't matter at all. Life's a gas. I could have turned you into a priestess. I could have burned your feet in the sand. But it all really doesn't matter at all. No, it all really doesn't matter at all. Life's a gas. Life's a gas. I hope it's gonna
Oh, what a gorgeous wee little gorgeous really song there. Nice.
Gorgeous. Life's a Gas.
We had a caller as well.
Yeah. She was saying when she was 10 and 11, she had posters of him on Mark Bolan on her wall.
Cute.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
That is cute.
Thanks for calling up for a chat. That was awesome.
So just talking about the kind of reception legacy of this record. So like I was saying before, the album... kind of, and the change of direction from Tyrannosaurus Rex to T-Rex was met with critical and commercial acclaim. The album went to number one and stayed there for 5 weeks. And with this, T-Rex was actually the biggest and most popular band in England at the time. And although many of the band's older fans from their folk days deemed them to have sold out, they weren't impressed. But Bolan, he wasn't stuck in the past, and he was moving on to a new, mainly teenage audience, I guess.
What is it about the past always being really, like they reject the future, you know? Like there are people who can acclimatize and move on and somewhat evolve, and then there are other people who need to stay.
I guess they didn't want the 60s to end.
Yeah, but the things end.
I know.
Life changes.
Exactly.
Deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Deal with it, guys.
Deal with it. Glam rock is here, guys.
And as I mentioned, this album has a very strong legacy by virtue of the fact it is considered the first glam rock album and pretty much set in stone the glam movement that followed. Even classic rock, kind of 60s bands who were big at the time were influenced by T-Rex, like the Rolling Stones. Yeah. Mick Jagger started wearing glitter on stage and sort of leotards and stuff. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. And Rolling Stone ranked it the 160th greatest album of all time. Pitchfork voted it the 20th best album of the 1970s. So some props there from the music press. And ultimately, T-Rex have gone on to influence many bands and scenes, most notably punk, Britpop, and hair metal in the 80s. And also, interestingly enough, they were a big influence on the Smiths, and especially Johnny Marr, who named Mark Bolan one of his 10 favourite guitarists.
I'm not surprised by that, but I am. I mean, like, I'd never heard of that before, but, like, it does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense, yeah.
Oh, that's just lovely, isn't it?
It is. And summing up Electric Warrior's place, I just found this thing on AllMusic where this guy called Steve Huey wrote, Bolan's lack of pomposity, back-to-basics songwriting and elaborate theatrics went on to influence everything from hard rock to punk to new wave. But in the end, it's that sense of playfulness combined with a raft of irresistible hooks that keeps Electric Warrior such an infectious, invigorating listen today.
And I, if you're thinking about that and, like, the legacy of all of these bands that did purely use, like, electric instrumentation over, like, other things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that title, Electric Warrior, it's like, yeah, eliminating the 60s and the folk aspect and coming in with, like, a new instrument.
Yeah, yeah.
And changing it for
big
the better.
Time. Yeah, and, yeah, this warrior kind of coming, prancing over the hills.
Rah!
Wiping out the 60s in his wake.
I mean, I love the 60s as well, but, you know, someone had to come in there.
Mm, absolutely, and the likes of Bowie and Mark Bolan, Iggy Pop, these people, enough is enough, they said. But it was tragic, unfortunately, because Mark Bolan passed in 1977 in a tragic car accident with his girlfriend.
Oh. That's so sad.
Yeah, so we were just saying before, drive responsibly, drive safely over the holiday period.
Yes.
Drive to the conditions.
I think so. I think you all need to be very mindful, especially if you have loved ones in the car. Not to speed, but also be wary of other people who may have gone a bit nuts.
Yeah, and be patient. Don't get into road rage.
Yeah, be patient and kind to each other on the roads this summer.
You're
going
to get to B from A. It might take a little bit longer. You'll get there.
Yes, it's very un-rock and roll.
Screaming at someone or flipping the bird ain't going
to
solve your problem.
Oh, are you speaking from experience?
No. I don't get involved in that. I'm just speaking from what I've seen from other people.
All right.
On that note, we're going to finish with a track which is kind of car related, actually.
Oh, no. Yeah.
It's called Jeepster.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is, like, one of the big hits off this album. Of course, the other one was Bang A Gong, Get It On. Mm. Everyone knows that song, so that's why I didn't play it. But this went to number 2 in the UK charts, incidentally. And it's a classic glam rock. It's heavy guitar riff, very sort of 50s rock and roll based, sexualized lyrics. And to be honest, when I hear this, I can just see Mark Bolan on stage sort of prancing around like a peacock, you know, going up into the camera's face and kind of, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Sam. That was very cool.
It was cool. Thanks.
Look forward to next week.
Yeah, we only got 3 weeks left of anniversary albums this year.
Yeah. And then 2017, here we are.
Yeah, 2017. By the way, 2017, we're going to be looking at anything with a 7 or a 2 in the year. So 67, 72, 77.
Cool. Okay.
And
many good things.
I've already started looking, and there's a shitload of albums, particularly in 1967. So watch out.
All right. So here's Jeepster, everybody. Enjoy.
See ya.
See ya.
Bum, bum.
You're my love.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.